Praise the Lord. Good morning.
Good morning.
Ah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just take a moment. Let's just take a moment. Just listen to the music and let our hearts just connect with God. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you, Jesus, for this time. This time with you, Lord. Set this time aside for you right now, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, 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 Lord. Lord, just let our hearts connect with you this morning, Lord. In a real and true way, Lord, let our hearts connect with you this morning. Pray that the busyness of our lives, Lord, would just be set aside, Lord, and that we would connect our hearts with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We just receive right now your full work in our lives, Lord. What you want to do, Lord, here today, Lord, we receive it right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just open ourselves up for what you want to do. Have your way, Lord. Let your fire and your passion burn in our hearts this morning. Help us, Lord, to set aside everything, Lord, that has been on our agenda, Lord, and help us make you our agenda today. Let us set our gaze at Jesus. Help us to see you in your face, Lord, and be transformed into being more like you. We bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
One single word this morning, and it's passion. And he is so passionate for you. He will knock down any wall. He will run where you are. He will draw you to himself. You are worthy enough to be drawn to. So if that rings a bell for anybody, could you just lift your hand for me? Just lift your hand. Okay, now what I want to know is, will you be brave enough to get him back? I mean, as much passion as he's got for you, will you let that be a reciprocal thing? Raise your hand if you will let that happen. All right, please come down here. Come on. I want everybody that is feeling the passion of God chasing after them. Can we put the words up, baby? And let's go to the one about him coming to get us or coming after us. Or I reach out and you find me in the dust. Okay, all of us have been in the dust once in a while, right? Okay, if you've been in the dust but you don't and you don't feel worthy, that's from the enemy. Just call that lie out for what it is And if you feel like you need a touch from God, you need to feel that passion in your life, in your heart, I want you to come down here and get it, because it's here. And he's going to say, hey, wait just a minute. I'm going to wait and watch you step out. And now we're going to sing this. And anybody that feels like they want to pray for anybody up here, come on, come and pray for people. We need people that are going to reach out and let Jesus find them where they are and draw them to him. And he will do that for you. Amen. Let's sing it again. Let's sing it again.
I reach out and you find me in the dust. You say no amount of truth can separate us. I reach out and you find me in the dust. You say no amount of untruths can separate us.
Say that again.
I reach out and I wanna know you. Rejoice in the simple gospel.
So while we're in this atmosphere of prayer, you got a few prayer needs. Let's just talk to Angela, and Bob needs more touch from the God. He's been touched, but we pray that he's going to get touched more. Father, we just pray, Lord, that you would continue your healing work, Lord, in our brother, in your son, Lord. We pray, God, that you would just allow, Lord, your perfect will to be done in his life right now in Jesus' name as it pertains to his health. We just rebuke and we just do not receive these lies from the enemy, these bad reports. And in Jesus' name, we release your healing hand over him, Lord. Every part of his body, every organ, every tissue, Lord, let it come into alignment with the word of God. Let it come in alignment with the truth of God. In Jesus' name, we speak life over Bob. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, we pray right now for Val, Lord, in the hospital, Lord. We pray that you would just touch her, Lord. Continue to bring restoration and healing. Continue, Lord, to let all of the things that the doctors are doing to her, Lord, be helpful for her and not hindrance, Lord. We pray, God, that you would just bring a speedy recovery and restoration, Lord. We pray, God, that you would just be with her in this time, Lord. Comfort her heart and give her your strength in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray for Caleb, Lord, who we prayed for last week, Lord. We pray that you continue to do a supernatural work in this young man, Lord, that you would heal him in Jesus' name, that it would be a report, Lord, that would bring wonder and awe for the name of God, Lord, because it would be a supernatural work. We pray for that right now in Jesus' mighty name. And anyone else here that's dealing with sicknesses and disease, we just release right now the healing power of God over them. Right now, Lord, we just release them from these infirmities and these sicknesses, whether it's allergies or cancer. We just release them right now from these bondages, these bindings that the enemy tries to put on us, and the world tries to put on us, and we release the healing hand of God in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, praise the Lord. All right, take a few minutes, greet each other. We'll be right back. Herman has something burning on his heart that he wanted to share, so.
Oh. All right, good to see everybody. So, Pastor Gay talked about being found in the dust. Most of you know that we farm, and this work week I was a little tired of getting dirty, getting dusty, feeling unworthy. It's like, you know what, it's time for a change. I need to start looking for something different. And some of you know we have two blocks in our orchard. One is up on top of a ridge, and I was feeling like that when I was up there. So as I'm coming down, you pass a tree line, and then the whole valley, just lower valley, opens up. You can see from Toppenish all the way to the gap. And man, the Lord stopped me on my, he stopped me and he said, look at where you're at, look at what you have. I mean, I literally stopped the truck and I'm thinking, you know, my heart's beating. It's like, man, I'm so blessed. I have probably more than I deserve. What happened? He found me in the dust.
Yes, he did.
She preached that I was found in the dust. I am worthy. You know, it's the enemy trying to say, you know what, just give it up, man, because we've been so hot praying for the Lord every day. I mean, I walk in, as soon as I cross that gate into the orchard, I start praying over the land. I don't even pray over me. Yeah. Lord, give us great fruit. Lord, bless our people, make our workers stay, everything. I'm not being about me, I'm about the people.
That's so good.
So you know what? Thank you, Pastor. That was something that I'll never forget. You know, no matter how bad you have it, you don't have to be covered in dust. Sometimes we feel like, you know, we're carrying baggage, we're carrying something oppressing us. Give it to the Lord. Put it at the foot of the cross.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, so good, so good. Well, speaking of being thankful for what we have, we're going to do declaration over the city because God gave us this city, and it is our home, and we want to be thankful for it. So go ahead and put that first slide up, please. All right, we're going to say this on three in cadence. One, two, three.
Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare, that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city is saved, would have the wisdom of heaven, that you will use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen.
Yes, God, we just thank you so much for this amazing day that you gave us and for the awesome words that you've been putting on people's hearts, especially like Herman, just being able to receive what Gaylene had to say and just being able to pour it out on the rest of us. So I just pray that as the rest of this message is spoken, God, that our hearts would be open to what you have to speak to us specifically, that we would all be able to take something away from today. So we just thank you so much for all this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. You guys are so beautiful. This is like my favorite place, because then I just get to see all your cute faces. All right, so youth is happening Sunday nights, just about every Sunday night, from 6:30 to 8:30. Yeah, I know. But I should know this, right? I should know. 6:30 to 8:30 downstairs is where we start. We get to bless our youth of the city of Selah and Yakima. And that's been new for us. But yeah, God is doing big things, you guys. And if you know of anybody who could use a little bit more of the Lord in those age ranges, send them our way. We'd love to bless them, pour out on them, and build them up. In Jesus' name, amen. And then we have women's and men's small group, like Zoom meetings. Women's is every Tuesday from 7 to 8, and men's is every Wednesday, also from 7 to 8. The phone numbers are up there displayed, so if you are interested, get a hold of either Pastor Gaylene or Pastor Mike, and they can tell you more about that. Yes? Amen. And then tithe. You guys, if you feel led to give to the house, you could do the old-fashioned way, put it on a check, cash, in this little box here, or go online. OneLifeFamilyWorship.com, click give, and you're on your way. Amen? Amen? Amen. Oh, you guys, guess who gets to come up today? My better half. This man is amazing. What God has poured into him is just phenomenal. When he speaks, it is a good idea to listen. He's really, really good at influencing. I just love it. Can I just keep doting on you?
All right, Jesse, turn your mic off. Put it away. All right. Praise God. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
God is good, amen.
Amen.
I have a fairly short word, actually. I don't really know how long this will take me to get through. Something fairly simple that I think God's been putting on my heart the last couple of weeks. But before I get into that, I really felt impressed towards the end of worship there. When we were praying and we had people come up and it's amazing when we get people to respond. What really warms my heart and what really stirs me up is when I see young people respond. And that's nothing against the older generation. I think that's great. However, you and I both know that what the youth of this generation is going through is nothing like any other generation has seen before. And yes, we all had our struggles and we all had our things. However, when I, looking at, you know, having been in youth ministry a decade and a half or something like that, I've even seen it shift even from when, like, Timmy was, you know, in a youth kid, like, seeing what the kids are struggling with now and what they're dealing with now with social media and everything, it really, really stirs me up when I see young people respond. And I loved seeing Adam and Andrew up here, and I felt... I looked over at Gina and Moses, and this is kind of a word for you guys, that I feel like what the Lord's saying is the prayers and the things that you guys have sowed into your family, that you're going to see the dividends of them now. And that and I want to take a moment to pray for you in a second, because I believe that what you guys have poured into your family, into your legacy, for the Perez family is, yes, you've got to see little glimpses of it. And I want to say kudos to you for one, but two, thank you, because we get to benefit from it. You know, Katie and Noah are two of our youth leaders, and what you poured into your children, now we're getting to see the fruit of. But I also want to just pray just a protection over your family, because as we've seen when, or as we maybe have experienced, when we get stirred up in the Lord is a time when I'm just going to say it, we really piss off the enemy. And that's okay. I'd rather have an enemy that's mad at me or that an enemy that's okay with me. And so if we just extend our hands to the Perez family right now, and that includes you, Katie and Noah, and just agree with me, God, we just thank you so much for who you are. And God, I just pray right now, a hedge of protection, God, over Moses and Gina, over Andrew and Adam, over Katie and Noah, Lord. Right now, I just ask, Lord, that you would cover them, Lord, with your love, with your protection, Lord. And I just thank you so much, Jesus, that you are moving in their lives, God. Lord, that you are not done with them, Lord. Just like I prayed over Andrew here at the altar, that God, you were just getting started, that you are moving, God. And you will not stop moving. God, I just pray right now, Lord, over the things that are getting stirred up, God, that they would keep getting stirred up, God, like a tornado, God, and all the things, Lord, that the enemy's trying to bring towards them, God, it would get taken out by said tornado, Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are with them, that you are guiding them, God. I thank you, Lord, for the leaders, God, that you are creating in these young people. I thank you, Lord, for the leaders that you have created in Gina and Moses, God, and I just pray, Lord, that you would continue giving the whole family strategy, God, of how to contend, Lord, for more of you, Lord. And I thank you for all of this in Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. You know, I could have just given Gina and Moses that word and prayed for them myself, but I really felt like, because, you know, they've been going to this church for a long time and I've gotten to see their kids grow up. And I mean, Katie was in our youth ministry as well. And I really feel like it's a testament to when you take care of what God's given you, God's faithful. When we're faithful with what God's given us, he's faithful. Amen. And what's crazy is, yeah, even when we're not, he's still faithful. However, I believe that there is something really, really, God is calling us to something, and not just today, but every day, to recognize the things that God has given us and steward. That's what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about stewardship, steward what God has given us. And this is the thing that God's been putting on my heart. But let me pray real quick, and then we'll get into this. Jesus, we just thank you so much for this word. I just pray blessings, Lord, over my heart, over my mind, God. Lord, let my words be your words, God, and not the other way around. And we just thank you, Jesus, that you are moving in this place. Lord, I thank you for this house. Lord, I thank you for just this opportunity, Lord, to get to share your word. And I thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So a few weeks ago, I had a friend of mine ask me, and he asked me this question, what is God speaking to you right now? And I don't know if you have friends that ask you those questions, but often that's a really hard question. And as a pastor, as somebody who is in my word often, as somebody who studies to preach, that is convicting when somebody asks me that and I'm like, I don't know. What is God speaking to me? So I'm having to like go through my brain like, hey, what is God speaking to me? Because I just feel, this is just my own journey, I feel like I should just know. I should be able to say like, this, right? And sometimes there's those seasons. Sometimes you can just spout it out. But as I began processing with him, I realized what God has been speaking to me is about stewardship. And I have a lot of spinning plates right now, as probably a lot of us do. But for me, and just to let you in my world, so spinning plates, you know, the most important spinning plate obviously is my faith, and then, you know, my marriage and my children. And then outside of that, I have the ministry that we're doing here at the church. And then I have the ministry I have over at Riverside Christian. And then I have just whatever else God throws my way. And sometimes it can get a little overwhelming, and sometimes things because multitasking is it's not real, you know, it's kind of impossible to really truly multitask, because you really only truly can focus on one thing all the way. And so I realized that as I was processing with him, stewardship is what God's been speaking to me, and how, what has he given me, What are the things that I have, that the gifts, the talents, the resources, what are the things that he's laid in front of me, and how have I been stewarding them? And stewardship isn't a word that I would say we use often. I don't think I use stewardship maybe a little bit more than others, but nonetheless, it's not a word you hear commonly said. But the literal definition of stewardship is this: the conducting, supervising, or managing of something. Simplified, I would say it's taking care of what you've been given. Yeah. You've been given this, take care of it. That's stewardship. At the simplest definition, right? We get a car, we get a brand new car. It's up to us to steward it. It's no one else's job to come to your house and change the oil and make sure it's clean on the inside and outside, and make sure the tires get rotated and make sure that all the things, right? It smells good. Like, that's up to you to steward. Has anybody ever been in a car that's not been stewarded well? Okay. You get into it, and before you step into the passenger, like, oh, I'm so sorry. And they have to like move all the junk and like throw it in the back. And you're like, do you live in your car? And so, right. And so it stewardship, and God has given all of us. And I want you guys to begin thinking about what are the things that God has gifted me with. What are the talents I have? What are the things that I'm spending my time in? And this could be an array of things, okay? So your jobs, for instance. It may not feel like a gift sometimes, but that is something that God has gifted you. You might have been praying for, God, I just need income. And God's like, okay, here's an application. Go work there, right? But how are you stewarding that? Our relationships, you know, our relationships, for those of us that are married, our relationship with our spouse, how are we stewarding it? And this gets harder and harder the longer you're married. When you're first married, you know, it's all sunshine and rainbows, and you're like, oh my gosh, I want to spend every moment with you, right? And it's a beautiful thing. And then as time goes on, because we're people of routine, it's easy to fall into that routine. It's like, yes, I love you and we're married, but we don't spend as much time just hanging out together or going on dates or just having conversation or whatever, stewarding that marriage. So again, be thinking about, what are the things that God has given me? It's amazing to me that I find people that will not steward their life or their faith or their relationships well at all, but get a new phone, and what's the first thing we all do? I need to make sure I get a case on it. I need to make sure I get a screen protector on it. I need to, you know, like, we almost treat this thing in our pockets. That's just one example. In our pockets, better than we do our faith and our lives and our relationships. Our life in itself is a gift. How are we stewarding our life? How are we making sure that our time is well spent? How are we making sure that what God has given us, the gift of life, the literal gift of life, how are we stewarding that well? And that's not just for young people. That's for everywhere in between. We as long as we're breathing air on this planet, we still have time to steward the time we have left on this planet. Amen. So I may have shared this story already, so forgive me. I only have so many stories to share. But years ago, about 20 years, we're coming up on the 20 year celebration. No, it's not a good job, Debbie, because the story is this. Nancy and I got into a car accident. So the story goes like this. We were just newly together, just dating, and Nancy was driving her mom's brand new 2004 Dodge Neon, had not made a payment on it yet, and I was driving my 1989 Ford Escort, had made lots of payments on it, and So we're driving along, and we were in two separate cars because we were taking her siblings and her siblings' friends to the movies, and there was a lot of them, and so we had to take the separate cars. So we drop them off at the movies, and we hang out, and then we go pick them up, and now we're headed home. We're headed to Nancy's parents' house out in Titan. And because we're young and because we're dumb and our brains aren't fully developed, we think, what a great idea. Let's start racing. And so you know, the judgment in the room is so heavy, and I know you guys have stories. I'm just the one with the mic and brave enough to share them. So we are on 40th, and we're you know, doing our thing, and then I turn on to Inglewood. And it's if you've driven on Inglewood, it's one lane. And so Nancy follows me, and we're driving along, and we're going faster than we should be going. And then in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm going to turn left right here to go this way. And in her mind, she's thinking, I'm going to pass him. That's happening at the same time. So I'm thinking, I'm going to turn. She's thinking, I'm going to pass him. And we both do those things, and we crash. And praise God, nobody died. Nobody really got hurt, except for Vicky's car and my car. But my car was a 89 Ford Escort, so that's a whole other thing. And it was pretty traumatic for all of us. And we left that thinking like we're dumb. We're the oldest ones here. Like we're supposed to be the example, and we just almost killed all of Nancy's siblings and their friends. And so it's all under the blood, okay? Jesus forgives. Stewardship. A lot of times what happens is we, as individuals, we can treat our lives like a 18-year-old Eric and Nancy driving down Inglewood. And it's reckless. And we're not thinking about it. We're not thinking about the next move. We're not thinking about how this is going to impact anybody, how this is going to impact my life, right? And we're just going along mindlessly, and we're just like, I'll be fine. I'll be okay. I don't have to think about it. God calls us to be intentional people with our lives. Amen. I want to read this verse in Matthew 25, because our lives are too precious to be careless with. Amen. Our lives are far too precious to be careless with. So Matthew 25, this is a parable that Jesus tells. And it says this in verse 14. It says, again, this is Jesus talking. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, and to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now, I've heard this parable used a lot when it comes to money, because it's talking about money. And I think that it obviously is applicable to be good stewards of your money. That is something we all should do. I think that Jesus is creative and knows that this can be applicable to more than our lives and just money, because our lives are more than just money at the end of the day. Amen. And so moving on to verse 24, the master comes back and he gets his account of you got 5 and doubled it, and you got 2 and doubled it. So in verse 24, the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the banker, so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. In the NLT, that last in verse 29, it says, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Here's the thing, church. Everything in life, as a Christian, needs to be stewarded well. We, as believers, should be the poster child for stewardship. as the church, I believe this, that people should look at us and we should be the ones that are the best stewards with our relationships, with our marriages, with our parenting, with our money. Everything should, I would love it if the world can, even if they disagree with us, even if they don't believe in Jesus, even if they hate Jesus, they say, but they're great stewards. Yeah. That's something I can get behind. They're great stewards. Everything in life, our health, our mind, our words, our relationships, our faith. Like, it's amazing to me, as well as believers, how easily we forget how important it is for us to steward what is going on in our thought process, what is going on in our minds. Because ultimately, you know, whatever goes on, whatever we consume, whatever we allow in, it is going to come out somewhere. It's going to come out in our attitude. It's going to come out in the way we talk. It's going to come out in the way we think. It's going to come out in the way we treat people around us. Stewardship. Our faith has to be stewarded. Our faith, it's, I look at our faith as a muscle. I look at our faith that if we all can have faith, like we all have muscles in the room, right? We all have muscles. Some of us have bigger muscles than others, right? Some of us have smaller muscles, but nonetheless, all of us have muscles. The reason why this person over here may have bigger muscles, more apparent muscles, because there's actually an exercise being done. We're all naturally going to have muscles because we all move around and we walk around, right? But in order for us to get that faith muscle bigger, we have to do something with our faith. Amen. Our faith actually has to be activated. Good. We have to steward it. Yeah. It can't just be something that we, all right, it's Sunday morning, so let's pick it up and make sure we bring our faith with us as we come into this building, where it honestly is the easiest place to have faith. Why? Because it's easy to feel like you're on fire when you're surrounded by a forest fire. The catch is are you still on fire when you leave this building and you get in your car, right? And you go home and you get back to life. Are you still on fire when you wake up on Monday morning? We sing that song all the time, right? Sunday or Monday morning faith. It's not about just a Sunday morning gathering. It's about Monday, Tuesday, and so forth. It's a lifestyle thing. Let me read another verse, Luke 12:42. The Lord answered, "Who then is faithful and wise manager, whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions." So essentially, Jesus is painting this picture. When you are faithful with what you have been given, just like we read in Matthew, more is going to be given to you. Amen. The kingdom is complicated in a lot of ways, but I believe that Jesus paints a really simple picture here when he says, if you're faithful with what you've been given, if you're faithful with this life, if you exercise this faith, you will get more faith. Verse 45 says, "But suppose the servant says to himself, 'My master is taking a long time in coming,' and he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of the servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers." Sometimes the Bible is a bit extreme, amen? Here's the thing. What God has given you and I, the question I want to ask is, have we stewarded it? Again, my hope is that you have begun thinking about the things in our lives, the things in your life that God has presented to you. The things that we, to be frank, probably have taken for granted in some ways because it's just so readily available, right? The simple fact that we wake up in the morning. I'm not perfect at this, but I try as much as I can to wake up and start with thankfulness in my heart. The fact that I just open my eyes, I have now a whole new fresh day to steward. God, what am I going to do with this day? Again, our faith, going back to our faith, It's not something we can allow to lay dormant. The world where the place in which our world is, in which our nation is, in which our city is, we as Christians cannot we cannot afford to let our faith lay dormant. As believers, our faith needs to be activated. It needs to be but before we ever can do that, we need to make sure we're stewarding our faith. Like, what are we doing when we leave this place? What are we doing when are we in our word? Are we in prayer? Are we gathering with other believers? Are we exercising this thing? Are we, when somebody says, "Hey, I have a prayer request," or "Hey, can you pray for me for this?" Or "I'm going through this." Are we at that moment activating our faith and saying, "You know what? I'm going to pray right now. Right now, I'm gonna put this thing to action." You know why? Because I believe in prayer. You know why? Because I believe in a real God that can really move in your life. Oh, you're feeling that sickness? Okay, I believe in a real God that really heals. So we're gonna say a simple prayer. Oh, a family member is going through this, or so and so is going through a divorce. I believe in a real God that really restores. You're having trouble with your family? Okay, I believe in a real God that believes in family. This is us activating our faith. And I understand that not everybody, personality-wise, does that come easy. But I would challenge you in this thought that Jesus, one, he's with you, and two, empowers you to do bold things. Again and again and again, we read stories in the Bible of ill-equipped people. People that why did he choose them? Why did God choose that person? Why did God choose that individual? Right? That's us. Now, we read the Bible, and they're heroes in the faith, right? And that's amazing. But if you read kind of the backstory or where they came from or who they were, what qualifies them? God. God qualifies them. Amen. Okay? So your faith, again, your faith is not something we can allow to lay dormant. And we have to start small. We don't go from 1 to 100. I'm not expecting, and none of us are expecting in here, that we would leave this place. All right, charge, let's go. And then we're all just like praying in tongues, and you know, and then we go to Walmart and we're all just like revival in Walmart. I mean, that'd be cool if that happened, but I think it's unrealistic to think that way. I think that the practical piece of this is that you take your faith where it's at right now and say, how do I get 1% better in this? How can I level up my faith just 1%? You know, maybe it is you going from somebody who says, "Hey," somebody says, "I need a prayer request," or "I have a prayer request. I need prayer for this." And maybe your boldness in that moment is you telling them, "I'll be praying for you." Maybe that's your 1%. But nonetheless, we're doing something. We're getting better. We're getting closer. We're allowing people to move in our lives. We're doing something. One of the worst things we can do as a believer, aside from leave our faith, is do nothing. One of the worst things we can do as a believer is to allow our faith, allow our Christianity to just lay dormant at the altar of One Life Family Worship. One of the worst things that we can do is come into this place, give it all as we're here worshiping, give it all as we're here learning about our word, but then go out in the world, go into your families, go into your workplaces, go into your schools, go into your places of influence and do nothing with your faith. Our world, our nation, our city, it needs us to show up. It needs us to take this faith, to take this real gospel, the simple gospel of love, and do something with it, and give it out, and share it with our brothers and sisters, share it with our family members. I don't know who needs to hear this in the room, but your family member, your mom and dad, your brother and sister, they are not too far gone. They are one encounter away from receiving Jesus. They're one encounter away from saying yes to God. You may rub shoulders with or work with somebody or live with somebody that literally could be the next revivalist. We have no idea. And oftentimes, if you look at, again, look at the heroes of the gospel, or look at the heroes, the God's generals, the people, John G. Lake, these people that came into our nation and did a mighty move of God. These are just regular people that somebody chose to pour into, or somebody chose to give the gospel. The only way we get that is we get bold in our faith. We take what God has been doing us. We steward it well. We exercise that thing, and we give it away. We give it away. This is why I am so, it's always going to come back to youth ministry, because I just love it so much. This is why we have chosen to lay our life down for this generation, is because I believe that if we can believe in young people and get them when they're young, and get them when they're 14, 15, 16, where the rest of the world is just ignoring them and say, hey, I don't understand, go over there and do your TikTok dance, get away from me, right? We press into that and say, I believe in you. Even though sometimes you're annoying, I still believe in you. Even though sometimes you are stinky, I believe in you. Even though sometimes you do things that are chaotic and whatever, I believe in you. And if you can figure this out now, like Daniel did when he was a young man, you have an older generation that is in a lion's den, but still saying yes to Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Stewardship. Let's pray. And right now, I just want us to position our hearts towards heaven, position our hearts towards Jesus. Lord, we just thank you so much that you are so faithful. You have not given up. You've not given up on any one of us, God, that anybody in this room is not too far gone from you. Jesus, we just thank you, Father, that your love is never ending, God. God, I pray that we would be good stewards, Lord, of the faith that you've given us, God. We would be good stewards, God, of the life that you've given us, God. That we would not just call it in, God. We would not just say, grow content and just move on with our lives. But we would be people that are stirred up by you. We'd be people that are stirred up by your presence, God. Lord, that we would not let a day or a moment that goes by where we just are living carelessly. We're just driving down the road and the road of life, and we're not worried about what's on our left or our right. We're not worried about what's coming up next, God. But instead, Lord, I pray that we'd be people that are intentional with our lives, that are intentional with our relationships, with our faith, God, with our families, God, that we would be good stewards of all the things that you've given us, God. Lord, highlight right now in our lives, God, the areas that you want us all to be better at. I just pray right now, God. I declare this, God, that we would be a house of God that gets better and better and better in your kingdom. We just thank you so much, Father. We thank you so much, Father, for your goodness, for your mercy. We thank you, God, that even when we don't have the answers, you have the answers. And when we don't have the strength, you have the strength. Even if we don't have the endurance, God, you give us what we need. You push us through, God, when we lean into you. We just thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's worship, church.
Gospel, I will reach.
Hearts would still continue to be postured towards you, God, postured towards heaven, God, that the distractions, Lord, of life, God, would not overwhelm us. They would not take us out, God. And I just pray, Lord, for strength, God, strength over anyone in this place that may be just feeling weak and tired and struggling, God, right now, Lord, that you would just overwhelm them with your strength, with your love, with your mercy, God, with your grace, God. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you when we lean into you, God, all things are possible. Not because of us, God, but because of you. That's the simple gospel. Not because of us, God, but because of you. So we just thank you so much, Jesus, for what you continue to do in this place, what you continue to do, Lord, in our hearts and our minds, God. And I just thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Hey, have a great, great week, you guys. We love you, and we'll see you next week.